Welcome to another episode of Why Not You with your host, Derek Wells, where we talk with leaders and entrepreneurs who are doing what they love to do. They'll share insights into overcoming adversity, the systems they use, along with the power of personal growth, faith, and much more. Our goal is to empower you with personal growth, faith, and a plan for ultimate success. Now, here's Derek with another life-changing story.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is D. Welsh, your host. We are back for part two with Mr. Jeff Williamson. Part one was good. I mean, we talked about competition, self-improvement, the power of just 1% improvement daily. We're about to dig into some more personal leadership and developments. I just want you guys to stay tuned. Have your notepads and pens out. It's time to go. Let's go, Jeff. Let's go.
So the guy says to the kid, what are you doing? You cannot save all these starfish. There's just too many of them. You're wasting your time. Kid picks one up. I'm not wasting my time with this one. Throws it in. And I think a lot of times we get overwhelmed. We get, we get that whole, this is too much. Things are too heavy. And we quit, we fail, or we quit and it's a time when we can actually fail. I think we're going through that time of growth but we don't recognize, in the moment of the impact it's making on that one starfish that we're throwing in, and we're struggling through all these different things in our life and how, what kind of impact we're making, but we don't always get rewarded that 20,000 foot view of what's happening and the seeds that are being planted and seeing the harvest that's happening right in front of you. But it happens more than we think. It happens if we really kind of stay aware of those things. So to me, what's impactful, and kind of what I would hope to resonate with everybody else and with that book is we make a lot more of an impact than we think we do. You're not gonna get them all in. Some of them aren't gonna, that was probably the conclusion of the book. I resonate.
Yeah. I like that too, man. I like that too. It just makes you think about, because I think a lot of times, people think that they might be wasting time doing something. When you use that analogy or just use the story of the boy just kind of throwing a starfish in, like just one at a time, man, if you just kind of like just step back, simplify.
Don't rush, right? I mean, there's so many different lessons that you can actually take from that. You eventually get there. But when you start rushing and skipping, all of a sudden you start circumventing the process and you miss valuable moments. For long traveling moments, man. And so that's a good story. I love that story.
Yeah.
I mean, you're coaching and you're writing. And I know like God just gives everybody like these gifts and talents. What do you believe your primary gift is?
I would say, maybe just leadership in general. I feel that I've just been given a gift where others just kind of resonate with, some of the things that we're doing, whether it be, leading life groups at church or, my wife philanthropically with some of the homeless mission work that she does and just things like that. I mean, but I also know too that I've kind of, try to avoid leadership things and opportunities sometimes.
Yeah.
And like, I were chatting before, I don't want to ever hear you evil, wicked servant, when God blesses us with something and we don't use it. So I'm just trying to, roll with the gifts that I've been given and try to, at the end of the day, say, well done, my good and faithful servant. So that's kind of where, I'm trying to, recognize that as, when I really kind of survey, you know, and then, you know, even this other people that kind of see things in us, and, you know, as we kind of have that come to our mind, and, you know, how we can use it for His glory, that's kind of where, you know, my headspace has been a lot lately. And I think leadership's probably top on that chart.
But now you got this, but I mean, now you're an author also, right? So what do you think about because you
have to have some kind of skill. You have to have some perseverance, just, you know, just with writing in general.
Yeah.
Because it's not easy. And I remember the last conference that we actually had, and you had Charlie Wetzel in the room, and they was talking about writing. Man, it's a process. And when he talked about how John, you know, creates the manuscript, and then they go over it, and then all of a sudden, then he goes into the writing phase from the manuscript, and the length of time that it takes. Man, that's work right there in itself. So I'm like, what was your motivation to actually, you know, put yourself through that? And she's like, you know what? I got to share this. I got to share this with the people.
Well, I mean, and you're not wrong. I mean, and I didn't rush the process here. I mean, you hear John's knocking out a book, it seems like, every 6 months, and he's just dedicated to doing that. I gave myself a lot of, time off, kind of thing. And almost quit a few times along the process, but my why in this was to, you know, show people things I've done, that maybe not have always been the most efficient and best way of doing things. And I wanted to pay it forward. I wanted, like, the Starbucks mentality, you know, where you go in the line and someone's going to pay for your coffee. I wanted to love on people in such a great, mighty way as people love on me, you know, and try to, you know, push that forward into, you know, someone that might, have come at a crossroads and say, well, actually, you know, I might be able to apply old chapter 8 to this, you know, or something like that, you know. And I'll even say further, I've always enjoyed writing. My leadership coach, he told me, stick with what works, you know. So as I'm going through and I'm kind of discerning through things and reflecting and doing planning and all these different things, some people will do like sticky notes and some people will do all this kind of, you know, deal here. I'm like Doogie Howser from years ago, where I'll write my little thing up here. You don't hear the corny music in the background. But I've always liked to write, reflection on what I've done. And it's like in prayer, you know, where you praise, repent, ask, and then you yield. And as if I get that all out, and if I put all my reflection down, and I truly start to yield, I've had more ideas come, whether it be content for books, things I might be able to do, you know, in my life differently, how I can love on my friends or family better. And things just kind of come when you, it's like clearing your cache memory, you know, you try to, and you get your computer back to the best sense of what it could be. So for me, writing is just getting it all out there and then pausing on what's next and what's, you know, what He has in store for us.
Yeah. Now, do you spend a lot of time just kind of like just journaling?
I write, at least 5 times a day. A weekend, I get kind of lazy sometimes, you know, and my wife's like, well, you know, you don't need to work right now because it's the weekend. Let's go and do this or that. So I'm like, all right, maybe let's roll here or whatever. I've always been pretty big into, you know, like, if you look at my office here, I've got whiteboards everywhere here. Yeah. This is actually a fishing line with other material. I have craziness in my office here, but that's a fishing line with different things I want to talk about, or not talk about, but write about. So writing has always been a part of how I think, how I process. But the funny thing though is the book is about my story, so I'm being as vulnerable as I possibly can be. So I'm like, who's gonna want to hear this? And then when they do get it, it's my dirty laundry. So, right. You know, but, you know, God kept putting on my heart, to hit send. And, you know, that was a big day to push that out to my publisher.
Right. I think a lot of times, man, transparency actually, it brings transformation in other people, because now it actually kind of, it gives them permission, right, to be the vulnerable. It gives them permission to share what's like, you know, just really on their heart and things that matter. And it kind of,
it just made me think about, it made me think about Eminem. And I'm trying to remember what, in 8 Mile, right, where,
yeah,
you know, here they are, they're out down the stage, they're battling, and the only diss that they actually had was to talk about the other person. But
yeah,
when you talk about yourself and you rap about yourself and putting it all out there, dude, it shuts the other person down. If that's
right,
all they got, right?
That's right. B-Rabbit. Yeah. I lived in Michigan for, like I said before. So I had one of my offices was 2 blocks away from where he grew up. So,
are you serious?
Yeah. So that's out in the Sterling Heights area. So, but yeah, I mean, thankfully I get more than one chance as he's rapping, but
yeah,
you know, but you're 100% though. I mean, you know, I love what you're saying there. I mean, you throw it all out there and say, all right, here's where it's at though.
Yeah.
And that's good, man. I like that. B-Rabbit.
B-Rabbit, that is hilarious. I forgot his name in the movie.
So, man, when you think about, I know everybody has like processes or some type of system that they actually use, just, you know, for organization, or because, you know, we could set the goals, but if you don't have no system in place to actually implement the goals, man, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
What are some of the system that you actually have that you actually utilize to accomplish your goals?
Well, it's a good question. You know, as I want to make sure I'm not saying, I'm not plateauing, because when you plateau, you're stagnant and start to atrophy. And the methodology that I'm using now is getting me to where I'm at today, right? So, you know, as a lot of people will do, like year-end planning, and Mark, you know, he's considering his year or his word for the year for next year and things like that. I'm really trying to make sure that what I'm doing now, you know, is going to be allow a better sense of myself and for me to continue to level up. So, I mean, I have the task list where you can, you know, check the box and you're completing things, you're feeling good, you know, to feel that affirmation. I've got whiteboards everywhere. I've got fishing lines over here. I bombard myself with information to try to, you know, stay, you know, it's almost like that New York stock ticker where you see the thing kind of going across the TV.
Yeah.
I try to have as much information in front of me, which probably seems a little crazy here, but that doesn't necessarily overwhelm me where might other people. So I just want to kind of keep putting things in there. I have my, you know, I have the Apple Watch that cuts on all the time and says, hey, make sure you do this. And my Outlook calendar that buzzes off here. But I mean, I'm trying to make the real things the real things. Mm-hmm. I mean, priority items, you know, as we go into it here, you know, there'll be times where I'm like, man, I've really been suffering on this one area here, and that becomes a priority. So from, you know, where it falls within the hierarchy of the day, that will, you know, obviously change up. But it's you know, and then throwing the reflection and journaling in there. So it's an ever evolving system. But what I have embraced, you know, in the planning stages and how I can be as efficient as possible is the white space time. It's that yielding time.
Yeah,
it's, you know, through prayer and through just kind of reflection and just seeing how I can best serve my team, my community, my family, my friends. It's different for every situation. You know, it's, by the time I get it all figured out, you know, he'll call me home anyway. So, but it, it's Yeah, it's ever evolving.
It is, isn't it?
But it's also part of that that whole process, right, man, of just growth. And I believe when you know what your purpose is, man, it's just like, hey, it's go time. It is straight up go time. And you're not going to stop.
You're not going to stop. And sometimes it's,
you know, I feel the same way where, it's, man, you just get like, I got stuff to do. I already know that God has put me in this direction. He put me on this path. And I just need to be impacting lives. But then at the same time, you got the family. It's like, you know, you got to be.
That's right. Yeah.
And so 100%. To me, it's like, there's
really no, I mean, people talk about balance, but I'm like, dude, can you really have balance when you're on a specific mission and you're actually out there just making things happen?
Yeah.
Because people think they got all year, or they're going to have just the rest of their lives of it. You just never know.
So. Well, I mean, that's another thing too, with 2020, COVID hit and all the things. And my wife, she had a pretty bad case of it where she was in the hospital for a good 10 days and, you know, kind of touch and go for a while. You know, it's to your point, you don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. I want to be as intentional and be as dialed in as I can with the time that I have. You know, and kind of whatever comes from that, whatever fruit comes from that is going to, you know, sometimes, you know, remains to be seen in some cases, but, I do want to make sure that, I recognize the gravity, to the best of my ability of time.
We have to, man, because life is short. Life is
100%.
And, I just think about the whole time thing it's a trip, because I think the past few weeks, man, I've just really been thinking about time and how time is like a currency.
Mm-hmm.
Because you could invest it, you could spend it, you could waste it. Just like money, right? So it's like,
oh yeah.
Yeah. So you really have to be careful is, you know, who you actually, you know, spend your time with, or what you give your time to, how you invest it. Whether, you know, it's growing yourself, growing other people. But the last thing you do, man, I don't want to do is be spending a whole lot of time with people who aren't moving and shaking.
That's right.
Who might not 100%. Be on the same, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So
I'm with you.
Yeah.
So, man, what would you say your I guess maybe your top two or three books are that you've actually read that actually, you know, that just kind of kicks you up to another whole nother level?
So I'll answer it this way. I'll give the author's names.
Okay.
So Albert Tate, he's incredible. I mean,
you're talking about Albert Tate from SoCal in Monrovia Church, right?
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. If I met him, I would just freak out. Like I would be like, oh my, you know. So that he's like my one person that I would just flip if I got to meet him. But dude has got a story.
He does.
He's a, you know, he's good. Shola Richards, he's good too. He's written a few books here. And he's a cat that was on the verge of suicide. And, you know, just kind of where he used that to, you know, just really lead a massive, I don't think he's a believer, but I could say he's created a ministry, whether he knows it or not, of people. And, you know, and that's been pretty huge. And then, so he just challenges thinking, which is so good. And then the last one is Sarah Bauer Anderson. She wrote The Space Between Us. And those three authors, they are, it's funny. If you would ask me this question, 5-10 years ago, I would have mentioned people that are very in line with how I think with things here. And it wouldn't be that much of a separation of thought, but these three have challenged my way of thinking. They have, I feel, made me level up and spin in an awesome, awesome way. You know, it allowed me to love better and to learn better and to serve better through that challenge of thought. I mean, so Yeah, Albert Tate, man. Oof, that guy.
He's but, funny.
Yeah, he 100%. But, you know, if we continue the direction that we're always going in, or, you know, you're always kind of doing that same thing, kind of, you know, you start to really alienate other possibilities, other people, other, you know, whatever the case might be. And so they kind of, you know, collectively, you know, in their own mission and just kind of wording narrative, say, you know, there's more out there than just kind of what you see. And, you know,
yeah,
it's a 20,000 foot view kind of stuff. So that's, you know, those guys are just, they're so good.
And the first time I actually saw and heard of Albert was at, I think it was, what year was it? 2016. I ended up going to Cincinnati for this youth conference. And so at the time I was working on my master's at Fuller. And one of our classes actually went out there. So we spent a week out in Cincinnati, man. It was in, it was the month of November. And the conference was right across the street from where the Bengals play.
I was like, this is tight. This is tight.
Yeah.
But
man, when I saw Albert, dude, he lit it up, man. I think he spoke for like 15, 20 minutes, but it was impactful. I still have the audio and video for to this day.
Mm.
And actually went to his church one time to go see him. He wasn't there. He wasn't
that.
I was mad.
But I was like, he's a good dude. And like you said, his testimony's crazy.
Yeah, and that's funny too, because I live near Charlotte. It's 3 hours, and Stephen Furtick's out there. So I'm like, sometimes like, you know, Kendra, we gotta roll out there and see Furtick talk. But like you say, you know, they do a lot of touring too. So it would probably be the Sunday I go out there and he wouldn't be talking. So you're like, oh man, but it's still cool though.
Yeah. And so, man, I just got a couple more questions, man, before we end up wrapping up.
Yeah.
I mean, so at like this phase in your life, how would you define success?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, probably a bit of a reoccurring theme, but if I can in some way help somebody out and they, you know, whatever, you know, they're whether it's vocationally or philanthropically or whatever, if they can kind of level up based on, you know, that relationship, that to me is where it all matters. You know, I've been around the sun a few more times than some of the people we kind of have in contact, and you know, like our college and career group. I mean, they're between like 18 and 25 kind of thing. And I said, I'm a facilitator. I've been around the sun a few more times here, but you know, here's some experiences that we've seen. And so it's being able to challenge people to level up and to apply things that, you know, we've come into contact with. And so that's it. Is just try to, you know, if success for me is, and I've shared with you before, if I can make a difference in someone's life, that's one of my things that goes off on my Outlook calendar every single day. And just to stay aware, stay intentional about, you know, people that are out there and ways you can do something. And it doesn't have to be some sort of miraculous thing. My wife is big into the homeless ministry. So if we give a blanket out to somebody, if you stop and pray with somebody, if you pay for somebody's meal, or if you just encourage them, I mean, you know, to show love and to be relevant in somebody's life, it's gonna be different for you know, all the different people you come in contact with. But it's just kind of, you know, been put on my heart to try to be aware of those moments. And you know, hopefully we have more positive feedback that's been not. And you know, it's good. Yeah,
that is. I love it.
Hey man, there's a lot of homeless here in Cali.
Oh yeah,
that's for sure. It's a lot. So man, that ministry right there, that'd take off.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Before we go, man, what are some inspiring words that you could just share with the people, just to, man, just take action and remove the self doubt and fear, and just create some type of momentum. You know, whether it's writing something down or consulting somebody, utilizing the resource to actually help you get moving in the right direction, but use what God has given you and share it with other people. Be like, hey, it's your time. It's your turn, baby. It's your turn.
That's right. You know, James Clear talks about in Atomic Habits, it's that 1% every single day. You know, a lot of times people have these grandiose ideas about these things that they want to do, the New Year's resolution type thing. Listen, I'm going to hit the gym 8 times a week. You know, and it's like, no, you're not. You know, but it's that small 1%, you know, hey, maybe let's just, you know, and it gives you the opportunity to celebrate those successes, but it continues to push ahead and drive forward. So, you know, if I want to run a marathon, let's say, I'm not going to just say today, I'm going to go run 26 miles. That ain't going to happen. If I want to go walk my block though, maybe walk it twice, that can happen.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, you can celebrate that. And then, you know, tomorrow, maybe I walk the block a couple of times, but I throw a little bit of jogging in there. Let's see what happens. You know, and it's like, you know, you start to really, you know, it's like the people that say, I'm going to lose 50 pounds. Hey, you're going to lose 50 pounds. Right. If you say, I'm going to lose 1 pound this week. Yeah, that's so it's being mindful and you know, not to set yourself up for failure mentally, but it's you know, that's kind of what my advice is. You know, anytime I'm talking to the college group or my kids or you know, just whomever I come into contact with, it's you know, it's small bite-sized pieces, you know. Best way to eat the elephants one bite at a time. You can't swallow the daggone thing all at once, right?
Right.
So, but you know, just kind of have your eyes on where you're headed. But when you eat the elephant, then you have to have something else on your mind. You got to, all right, well, I ate the elephant. Now I need to go on to something different. You know, maybe a rhinoceros. I don't know.
Right.
But you got to, you know, start making pieces with that too. Yeah. You know. But it's celebrate those small successes. Don't get overwhelmed in the process. But as Tony Horton said with P90X, just keep hitting play, keep hitting play.
That's it.
To those workouts. That's right.
That's right, man. I appreciate it, Jeff. I appreciate it big time, bro.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's been good.
Still marinating in the house, y'all.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, I want to thank you all for listening to this episode of Why Not You. I'm definitely excited and thankful for Jeff for coming on the show. What a tremendous story. And I just want you guys to know that anything you set your mind to and you have the skill set and aptitude to accomplish whatever it is, you guys can do it. I just want to let you know you are talented, you are gifted beyond what you probably see. But just know that God has put something in all of you, you know, to share. So you guys just get after it. Until next week, y'all have a blessed week. And remember, we cannot become what we need if we remain where we are. God bless.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Why Not You. Remember, have faith and believe in yourself. God does. Also, subscribe to our channel and go to our website for more free content and life-changing stories at thewhynotyou.com. Until next time.